Welcome to the Birthful Podcast. I'm Adriana Lozada, and today I'm going to be doing things a little bit different to celebrate that the podcast has received over 2 million downloads. I can't even believe it. This is going to be a mini-sode with some of my favorite birth mantras to convey physiology and help you navigate labor. But since we hit 2 million downloads, I'll be sharing these mantras over 2 mini-sodes. So you get one today and another next week. These mantras are part of what I'd like to talk about with my doula clients during prenatals, so hopefully they will prove super useful for you as well, and maybe, in a way, I'll be there in spirit during your birth, cheering you on. Stay tuned. This episode of Birthful is brought to you by Megan Othling, a fabulous birth doula, childbirth educator, and prenatal and postpartum exercise specialist in Albuquerque, who is all about offering families the information and support they need to make their own empowered pregnancy, birth, and postpartum choices. Learn more at womanofvalorbirth.com. The Birthful Podcast, talking to maternity pros and new parents to inform your intuition. Hello, hello, mighty parents and parents-to-be. Oh, mighty ones, I cannot tell you how immensely grateful I am to all of you today as we just recently reached 2 million downloads for the podcast. What? Right? I am having a hard time wrapping my head around that. But I do hope you take a second to pat yourself on the back for this achievement, because it couldn't have been possible without you. So thank you so very much for listening, for subscribing, for telling your friends and your providers and your doulas all about it. You are mighty and awesome, and I thank you so very much. Now, so partly as a celebration of these 2 million downloads, and partly because it's summer in the Northern Hemisphere and time for a well-deserved break, I'm going to be doing something a little differently this week and next week. I am going to be doing 2 connected mini-sodes with my go-to birth mantras. And by mantras, I mean that these are short phrases that I use to help convey birth physiology in a quick and easy way that helps my clients remember how to navigate different situations during their birth. And these phrases usually come up during our prenatals, and then when they show up again during the birth, either because I say it or they say it, then they have no need for explanation. We all know what we're talking about, and it does help remind my clients how to support their own physiology without doing much talking, because frankly, talking is a thinking brain action, and we try to minimize that during birth. We follow the birthing person's lead. If they are chatty, we chat. But if they're quiet and going deep and introspective, we honor that and keep quiet. And that was a little extra tidbit that I wasn't planning on, but there you go. Okay. Now, before we get any deeper, I do want to give a big thank you as well to all the different sponsors that I have had on the show over the years. You can continue to support the podcast by supporting them. Big shout out today to the fabulous birth doula, childbirth educator, and prenatal and postpartum exercise specialist, Megan Othling, for all her invaluable support through the years. If you are in Albuquerque, New Mexico, look her up, Megan Othling, womanofvalorbirth.com. And if you want to join Megan and the rest of the official Birthful supporters, then go to patreon.com/birthful. As a special thank you, you get access to the extra content for each episode, as well as access to ad-free episodes. For the extra content for these 2 mini-sodes, we're going to have a little like online gathering. I'm going to first organize it this week and figure out what day works best for everybody. And then we're going to have that get together next week, where for an hour or maybe no more, who knows, we'll get together and I will be happy to answer any questions that relate to any of the mantras that I mentioned today or anything really related to any previous episodes to birth. Let's hang out and chat and celebrate all these 4.5 years and 2 million downloads of the Birthful Podcast. Yes, let's do something. Let's connect. So if you're interested in doing that, go to patreon.com/birthful and join the Birthful community, the official Birthful community. And my final PSA is that if you are in your third trimester, this is the perfect time to start getting ready for life with a baby. Get prepared by taking my Thrive with Your Newborn online postpartum preparation classes at birthfulcourses.com. And once you sign up, you get immediate access to all of it so you can take it at your own pace, rewatch after baby is born, dust it off for their next pregnancy. You get lifetime access. So go sign up now at birthfulcourses.com and do it before baby arrives. Okay, so on to the birth mantras. Now, these mantras have developed over time and from experience and from all the combined conversations that I've had with so many birth professionals over the years. Some of them are my own. Some of them have pulled from the general birth ethos, if you will. And frankly, I could not tell you exactly which are which. If you by chance know for certain that one of these was first said by a person and you know their name, shoot me an email. Let me know. I would love to give them credit. Also, when deciding where to start, I did try to list them in chronological order as to when you may need them during the birth process. Once I started writing mantras, I quickly came up with 11 before I decided to stop because I really like the number 11. And so in today's part one minisode, I will be sharing the first set of birth mantras. And in next week's part two, I'll share the remaining mantras to get us up to a total of 11. Okay, let's mantra. The first mantra is ignore it until you can't ignore it anymore. And I'm referring to early labor. Now, why do I say this? Because early labor can go on for a long time, especially more if you're experiencing prodromal labor. And prodromal labor is a sort of preparation labor where you experience contractions that aren't really creating any change in your cervix, but that do feel like labor. They can go on and off for a long time, even days, and can be annoying and exhausting. So, okay, that's prodromal labor. But back to early labor. Early labor is usually pretty uneventful. And if you get all excited when your contractions are barely cramp-like feelings that happen maybe once or twice in an hour, that excitement is going to keep you focused on the clock and the hours may drag on without much progress, leading to frustration and even having you try to do something to get it going, like going up and down stairs or for an enormous hike. And you're going to want to save that energy. You're using up that energy really when you don't need to during your early labor. You're going to need that energy later on when things get really going. So best thing to do with early labor is to save all that physical and mental energy for later when you're really going to need it and just ignore early labor until you can't ignore it anymore. Just keep doing life. So if you can walk and talk through contractions, ignore them. If you are able to sleep through contractions, ignore them and sleep. If they're not requiring your complete and absolute attention, ignore them and just continue to do life. I love that many of the birth stories that we've shared over the years here on the podcast have included people ignoring early labor and going out to lunch or shopping, taking people to appointments. There was even one story where they went to check out open houses. All of them got to a point where it became clear that they could not continue doing life and it was time to shift the focus onto their labor. Now, if as the labor starts, you realize you're tired, then do what you can to take a nap. And also make sure you eat and hydrate and, you know, general taking care of your body. If it happens to be late at night and you are getting ready for bed, see if you can take a shower or a bath to relax or something to calm things down and get some sleep. If it stops, don't worry about it one bit. It's going to start again at some point, but by then you'll be better rested. And if it's truly labor, you'll take that shower and it won't stop. It'll keep going. So don't worry about it. Just ignore it and let it do its thing. This leads me perfectly into my next mantra, which is birth is not linear. You've probably heard me say this before. It's not linear. It starts, it stops, it goes for a road trip around the block and comes back. Yes, contractions will at some point get stronger, longer, closer together, but that's more common when you get to active labor. During that early labor, your mind still can have a lot of influence on your body, and just like you can hold your breath, you can also affect your labor. And often, this is a very good protective mechanism, right? Like if there was a tiger coming to get you, you would want labor to stop and go to a safe place. But also as you have other responsibilities with life, it can be, your body is taking care of you. So what I mean by this is a good example, and I see this happen more often for people who have other kids, is that they may experience contractions during the night, but then as they need to get their other kiddos ready for schools, things die down or stop, and then they start again after the kids have gone to school. And when they come back from school in the afternoon, things will stop again. And then everyone has dinner, and labor may even let you get a few hours of sleep before starting suddenly during the night. And this is totally fine. I do see labor starting and stopping and then starting on again more often at home births, since usually in hospitals, hospital systems expect the birth to be a linear crescendo. And when it's not, then there's usually some intervention, some augmentation to keep it going. But the point is, don't bring worry and adrenaline to the process if it stops. Instead, you know, go take a nap. Okay, so my third mantra is more for the birthing partner, and it is basically that a 5-1-1 contraction pattern is not going to sneak up on you. That 5-1-1 means that contractions are 5 minutes apart, lasting for a minute or more, and that has been going on for at least an hour. Depending on your provider, that number may be a 3-1-1 or a 4-1-1, which just means that they're looking for contractions to be 3 minutes apart or 4 minutes apart. Regardless of the number, it is usually used as a guide as to when it may be time to go to the hospital or birth center if you happen to be going anywhere, because this tends to be the character of contractions as you get into active labor, that sort of sustained, strong, long, close together rhythmic pattern. So here's why I say that a 5-1-1 contraction pattern is not going to sneak up on you. Usually, a contraction pattern like that carries an intensity that is hard to miss. So if a 5-1-1 contraction pattern is not going to sneak up on you, then you certainly do not need to waste your energy timing contractions before it gets to that. In fact, I go as far as to say that timing contractions is a first intervention to labor, since it shifts the focus to a thinking brain linear process that can actually keep things from advancing and hinder physiology. So instead, in review, first mantra, ignore it until you can't ignore it anymore. And if you're the birth partner, focus your energy instead of on supporting the birthing person, making sure they're well rested, hydrated, fed, and pampered. And when it gets to a point that you're like, this seems like things are happening, maybe we should time them. Then time them for a little bit just to get a baseline, and then decide what you're going to do with that next. And aside from making sure that the birthing person is well-rested, hydrated, fed, and pampered, also make sure your bags are packed and ready and that you've given your doula a heads up. Please make sure you do that. My next mantra is that cervical checks are a snapshot. And by this, I mean it's not a video, it's a snapshot. It just happens to be a number that depicts what the cervix is doing at that moment, but has no way of showing how long it's taken to get to that number, or more importantly, how long it's going to take to get to full dilation and beyond. This goes hand in hand with the birth is not linear mantra, as I have seen plenty of people take days to get to 2 to 3 centimeters and then catch everybody by surprise, including themselves, by having a baby in a few hours. This has been true for first-time moms and repeat births, so it's not just a matter of repeat babies. There are also births where there isn't the need or the chance for a cervical check, and the baby is born none the wiser. Because frankly, your body doesn't care about that number. It's just doing its thing, and baby doesn't care about that number. Baby's just being born. In contrast to that, if you have vaginal checks, internal checks, days or weeks before labor even start, sometimes that can create false expectations, especially if there's some sort of dilation, say the cervix is 2 or 3 centimeters and labor hasn't even close to started, and then nothing happens for a week. And even then, early labor might be really long, and you're expecting for everything to go really quick because, hey, you were already 2 or 3. That's just a snapshot. That's just where it is. For cervix to change, you need some contractions. You need some force to get the cervix to open and thin out and go away. So get vaginal checks if the information is useful to you, but remember that they are only snapshots, and that sometimes vaginal checks can lead to what I call disappointing vaginal checks, where you're expecting a different number and you get a lower number, and then that messes with your mind. Also, it's not unheard of getting a cervical check of, say, 5 centimeters, and then having the next one be less than that, be 2 centimeters, 3 centimeters. And as you can imagine, that is extremely disappointing and can disturb the labor flow for the same thing that you get in your head about it. I find that in situations like that, it may often be that the checks were done by different people with different hand sizes. So therefore, it's not a perfect science. You're measuring by extending your forefinger and your middle finger. So what for one person might be a 5, for somebody else who has a bigger hand might be a 3. Ideally, it's best to have the same person do the checks for consistency. And just remember that it's just a snapshot. Your body is going to do what it's going to do. My next mantra is to rest smart. And by this, I mean to make sure that you take the opportunity to rest whenever you can and balance any activities with rest. So for example, if you've been up for a while or out for a walk, follow that with a nap or a side-lying rest on the bed. And this mantra doesn't just relate to early labor, but to any part of the process. So I've seen plenty of people go into the tub during transition and doze off between contractions while we all wait quietly to support them during the contraction, but are keeping really quiet in between, in those pauses. And you think that they're only getting maybe 30 seconds, not even a minute of pause in between, but they're able to dose deep, go deep, and then come up for the contraction, deal with the contraction in a rhythm, and then go back down. So it's that whole balance of energy. It requires your focus. I've also seen people take solid, like hour-long naps in what Wapia would call the quietude, or what my doula trainer, Pat Predmore, called the rest and be thankful stage between transition and pushing stage. This rest smart mantra is especially important if things aren't quite going as you'd like, since that probably means that labor is taking longer. And this rest smart, of course, applies also to inductions, because when things get going, you will need all your energy. So back to that, try to be well rested for when you need it. Many a birth has been derailed because of tiredness. So I know it seems a little counterintuitive, because you would think, oh, I need to do things. But if you're worried that you should be moving or changing positions, let me tell you, if you are really in labor, chances are you are not going to be able to rest for all that long. Also, sleeping is a great way, and resting are great ways to turn off your thinking brain and let your body more easily go into those deeper brainwaves of labor land. So in fact, by resting and sleeping when you can, you are supporting your physiology. And there you have it. Those are the first five of my 11 birth mantras that I'm doing in these two-part minisodes. Make sure to come back and listen to next week's episode, which is going to pick up right where we left off with mantra number 6 and goes all the way to number 11. And I know that you only have about half the list here today, but if there is a mantra that really worked for you that I didn't include in this list, please, 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 I want to know. Send me an email to info@birthful.com and make birth mantras the subject line. I really want to know about them. I so look forward to reading them. Thank you so much for listening and for 2 million downloads. Mighty ones, find the in-depth show notes for this episode at birthful.com where you can learn more about me, the show, send me messages, and more. And if what you want is access to ad-free episodes and the extra content I provide for each new episode, then come join us over at patreon.com/birthful to become an official Birthful supporter. Check it out at patreon.com/birthful. And if you're looking to get ready for life with a newborn, then go to birthfulcourses.com and sign up for my Thrive with Your Newborn online postpartum preparation classes. This episode was produced by me and made possible by you, those amazing Birthful Patreon supporters, including the fabulous doula educator and exercise specialist, Megan Othling. Go learn more about her at womanofvalorbirth.com. The title song for this podcast is Vive Ace by Kevin McLeod, and the sponsorship song is Air Hockey Saloon by Chris Zabriskie. Find them both at freemusicarchive.org. Also, the Birthful Podcast is part of the Parents on Demand Network, a network of podcasts focused on parents. Download the free Parents on Demand app on Apple and Android for easy on-the-go listening. Oh, and my breakfast today was toasted sweet potato planks with 2 eggs over easy and organic cold brew coffee. I'm Adriana Lozada. Please join me next week when I'll be sharing more of my birth mantras here at the Birthful Podcast. Thanks so much for 2 million downloads worth of listening. This episode is copyright 2019 by Adriana Lozada.